The mules are in the corral. Welcome to Mule Talk, and I'm Cindy K. Roberts, your host.
On this week's episode of Mule Talk, we are talking to a well-known in the mule world. South of the border, that's Paragould, Arkansas, we are talking to Max Bishop. Max, welcome to Mule Talk.
Thank you, ma'am. How are you doing today?
Okay, great. Now, I got wind of your weekend episode where you bought this mule that was a superhero, and he was involved in solving a crime. So, enlighten us.
Yeah, we had a good time at the Ada, Oklahoma mule sale this weekend for sure, and the Kelsos run that now, and which they've been in there for 30 years and stuff, but anyways, so they're about their fifth generation. So all them kids, for just, you know, they've always grown up riding, roping, doing rodeo stuff.
Sure.
Stock stuff. Well, anyway, so one of the youngest ones in the Kelsos is Jack Kelso. He's a 15, 16-year-old kid and a small little guy. Well, anyway, him and another one of his little buddies there, they decided they were going to ride the night before the big sale. They're going to go up to downtown on the court square and just ride around Ada, Oklahoma and hang out up there. And while they were riding around on the court square up there, a lady stuck her head out of the apartment, was screaming, yelling. This guy was beating her up, throwing her stuff out the window and things, blah blah blah. They're having an episode and she was asking for help. So Jack and his other buddy of his decide they're gonna go help. Well, this guy comes out, it's like a 30-year-old black guy. He comes out and they get in a scuffle, and they whoop him. And so anyway, he goes back in the house and gets a knife and comes back out there. And when he comes outside with a knife, Jack just throws a rope and snatches his feet out from underneath him and drug him around the road there until the cops come and arrested the guy. And so they call his daddy. And because he didn't have a driver's license, they said, what's this boy's social security number just in case this ends up going bad? But cops weren't mad at him. They thought it was about the funniest thing they ever saw. But I was real interested in the mule anyway. This kid just rode the hair off of it for the 3 days we were up there. Because the way they had that sale set up this time, he had to be there on Thursday to do the preview for the catalog mules.
Okay.
Friday, they did tack. And then Saturday was the actual sale. So we all actually got up there Wednesday night and we're hanging out from Wednesday all the way till Sunday. And so quite a long weekend at the mule deal up there for sure. But yeah, he's got a little stock. It's like a little stocking legged, real pretty little mule anyway. But he was loping around and popping bull whips and roping things and running around his buddy and riding uptown and doing all that kind of stuff. So I knew it had been exposed just by being his mule, for sure, to say the least. And but after that, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to buy it now for sure just so I can tell that story.
So this mule, how old is it?
I think it's like 5 or 6-year-old mule. I'll be honest with you, I bought 18 of the damn things there.
Right,
so,
right.
I hadn't got everything sorted out and picked out, but it was on my list. I don't think I have the little catalog on me right now. I think it's
okay
in my truck.
So is it a mare or a horse mule or?
No, I'm gonna ask me another question. I'm gonna walk in there and get the book.
Okay.
And then we'll get
all right
back to it.
We'll
that?
Go back to that $10,000 question. But well, that's really nice. So you hauled back a trailer load of mules from that sale.
Yeah, well, I have learned if you buy enough of them, somebody will haul it for you. So I hauled about 9 of them back myself. And then the Kelsos, to actually get back to their home in Kentucky, they have to come by my house anyway. So if you pay them enough commission, they will drop them off in your front yard for you.
Oh, sure. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah,
gotta,
I mean, really.
You just got to, when you write a $95,000 check, they will show up for you.
Oh, yeah. So that's better than Amazon Prime. Yeah. It's almost like free delivery. That's pretty cool.
That's one of them deals where, you know, like, I think they like me, but they might just like that big commission check. But either way,
right?
Either way, the Kelsos have always taken care of me and got my stuff back here. I always ask Jody, I said, man, I got my trailer full. He goes, you just stay and keep buying. We'll make sure they're there.
Oh, now that's wonderful. So now they've been in the mule sale business for many years.
Five generations. Yeah. So
okay.
Yeah, they've been there and around. Let's see if I can figure out which one it is. I got my little book now. I'm gonna try to figure out which one. Let's see here. I didn't know I was gonna have to do homework.
So really, this mule is like a superhero mule. I mean, it can fight crime.
That's right.
So
it'll do what you tell it. That is definitely.
That's well,
sure.
Well worth the price tag, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's worth that just to tell the story. I'm looking through here trying to figure it out.
Okay.
But
take
but
your
yeah,
time.
Overall, the sale was really nice. The hot, you know, John Lawson's been involved in it for years, too, and he went. They split it up, went different ways. John's not doing it right now. And so I think some of the really high-end mules that John trained himself, you know, a lot of the high sellers have been John's mules and personal mules over the last few years. So they weren't there. So, you know, a lot of people go like, well, you know, looks like maybe the sale was down. But they had a couple glitches. They had it where there's no online marketing, so you're not having to bid against people from California, Montana, and all that stuff. And that oftentimes drives a market up.
Okay.
Really, really high.
Okay.
And then they also had, from my perspective, the middle range mules were way, way higher. There was quite a few mules that no way I would have paid more than $3,500 or, you know, $4,000 for, and they bought, you know, $7,500 to $9,500.
Sure.
So there was a lot of, if it's just a good, safe, gentle mule, I thought those were really, really high. So I think, but, you know, when you've got out there and you've got a few mules that are really reining around and spinning and really showing well, you know, and you get those that hit that $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 mark, of course, they're going to be the big highlights. But that's also a twofold thing. For example, I bought a mule there that was as nice or nicer than the majority of the mules that have ever been in any of those sales and stuff. And it was a Chris French bred mule. Well, they
sure.
didn't get it there in time to get it in the catalog. And it's a black and white stock and legging. They didn't get it there to get it in the time for the catalog. And there was no online bidding. And then half the factor, let's say a third of the factor is how good your mule is. Your second factor is going to be how good of a salesman you are, salesmanship, riding ability, how much did you market? Because I seen in a comment one day on one of the things this morning, I had so many messages and comments this morning, but one of the things was, the market must be down because last year Hudo had one for $25,000. Well, that's true, but the thing that they're not factoring in is Hudo's a professional mule guy, and he did 6 months of advertising on his mules, on his own page, his own website,
sure,
for six months. So he brought clients with him. He had bidders wanting to buy it, and brought them online, brought them on the cell, brought them on the phone.
Yeah,
and said, "Hey, we're all, you know, I'm gonna have you. You're all gonna be bidding against each other." So, you know, when you have people that are just coming out of the country and they don't have that following, they don't have that marketability. And then, like with this mule that I got, the lady just didn't represent it. She couldn't ride it. You know, she didn't show or tell about it roping cows, or show it, or show its ability to do that. I'll be honest with you, it slipped through the cracks on everybody. The only reason it did not slip through the cracks on me is it had the Chris French brand on it, and I went, let's just raise this quality stock. You know, I mean, you just, all them colts have a copyright. I mean, of course, there's going to be exceptions, but let's say 90% of all them colts have copyright. They got beautiful heads, beautiful necks. They're athletes. Back in that time frame, he was married to Kelly, and they showed them. And I'm not saying that he's not now, but I'm just saying, but in the time frame of when this particular mule would have been born, they were showing them, halting them, leading them, handling them as babies. So, you know, the things are friendly and gentle. So I bought not at all by what the lady showed the mule or how the mule performed to sell, but just simply because of being in the mule business and knowing how it was bred, how it was raised, who the daddy was, what quality
sure.
mares they breed to. And then when I got it home, you can look up the Frenchman on videos on my Facebook page. My God, some bitch, he's awesome. He's amazing. You know, and my little girl can ride him by herself. I can go out there and really whack a cow right, correctly. You know, I mean, really, really cowing mule. So they were there. You know, there were some high quality ones there, but without the marketing, and the marketing is not from the people that run the sale. Any video you send them, they're going to post it. They're going to share it on their page. But they can only post the videos you send them. You know, they're not going to your house and rhyme them for you.
Yeah.
So if you want to hit those sales like that, and you want your mule to bring 20,000, you got to show people why it's worth 20,000. You can't just show up and go, well, all these people are going to bid on my mule because I said it was really gentle. That's just how it works.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
You know, so I think a lot of people in today's world and in today's economy, they go, well, this guy got that, so I'm going to get that. And then there's people there, you know, playing games, and they'd run their mule to, you know, $15,000, $17,000, $20,000, and never have a legit bid on it, you know, just bouncing around between their buddies and stuff. And I get it. You know, if you have a guy, you know, there was a lady at Sedalia one time, and she told the people that owned the mule, she told the ring bidder, she said, I'll bid it to 40,000. You can bet that it went to 40,000. You know, so there's no way bidding against her. They just run it to 40,000 because she wasn't there. And she said, I'll pay up to 40,000. So you can bet you they run it right there. So if you tell the bidder, you know, like if you're on the phone, let's say you're doing a call-in bidder, and you call and you tell that ring guy, hey, keep me until 7,500. Buddy, it's going to 7,500. It's not going to stop at 5.
Right.
You know, there's your alley. You need to be, pretending like you're fixing to get out at any minute. And so just kind of stop that, alleviate that. You know, so, you know, you see some of the mules that are playing games. And I had a guy, you know, at Sedalia sale, a couple guys, and they said, we're just going to watch and see what you bid on, and then since we know that you know stuff, whatever you bid on, we're going to bid on it. And they run me up to ridiculous to where I was having to pay $14,500 for some mules and stuff, you know. And I was like, all right, you know. And so that's a double-edged sword, buddy, because when I know you're doing that, there'll be some piece of crap in there
that's
lame, soured up, nothing, and I'll go to bidding on it just to get your ass hooked on it, and I'll let you have it. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of games that get played at those sales, and that's the dangers of it, you know.
Sure.
And then I'll have buddies, and they'll say, hey, I need, my mule needs to bring 8,000. I could get the 8,000, you know. And so we'll run it right to 8,000, and somebody will jump in. But, you know, that's the danger of the sales. You know, I mean, it's a snake pit. You better know what you're doing. You know, so
right.
I know for a fact. One of my buddies, he actually told me. He said, "Hey, I want you to go there, look at mules and check mules out, and find me one." And you know, I've been riding with him for 15 years. I know what he wants. You know, and I said, "All right." I said, "Give me $500, and I'll do it." You know, well, he's got it on his mind. He goes, I say $500, I'll just watch online, I'll make a phone call, you know. So he doesn't even tell me he's doing that. So I go through there, well, he bought him a $7,500 mule, was crippled.
Wow.
There you go. Because I was sitting there, if he'd called me and asked me, what do you think about this number right here? I said, well, it looks like it's off to me. But he didn't, because he wanted to save his $500. So if you've got a buddy or somebody that's there at the sales, and there's a lot of guys, like you look at Billy Rogers, Steve Dawson, these guys are well known in the mule business, but they're not buying and selling mules. But they're there because they enjoy going and seeing their friends or whatever. Get a hold of one of them guys and say, hey, go check this mule out for me.
Exactly.
What do you think?
Exactly.
What's your opinion on it? I know that there's a lady wanting to buy a gentle, safe mule, and she contacted Rhonda Cole. And Rhonda Cole, which she's also a friend of mine, Rhonda Cole said, hey, this is my friend. This is what she needs. What do you think about this mule? Whatever. And please don't bid against me. And it was a real nice mule that this girl, Allie, was riding. This gorgeous little, I don't know, she looks like she's 20 years old or something, but blonde hair. Looks like a Dago model stepped out of the Yellowstone movie or something. And she won Cheyenne Frontier Days. I mean, this girl can ride. She looks like a model and won Cheyenne Frontier Days, which is legit.
Right.
Nobody hardly ever wins. You know what I mean? That's, you're in the world-class league. You win Cheyenne Frontier Days. And I said, there's your mule from a quality person, quality rider. Somebody's been riding it, you know. And so she brought $9,500, and she bought it for her friend. So the friend wasn't there, but they had Rhonda Cole check it out. Rhonda Cole had me check it out. And then when she got to bidding on it, I just sat there on my hands, you know. I mean, so you know, you can go there and get those things accomplished, you know. But you need to, you know, you need to understand the game if you're gonna play it, you know. Because a lot of people, so So like I said, there were some mules there that got sold really high that shouldn't have got sold high. There were some high ones there that slipped through the cracks. But I thought the market for just a good, simple, gentle mule that walks, trots, lopes, goes down the trail, looks calm, and not on what it does do, like when John Longston was there, like what does this mule do? This mule ropes, he spins, he side, but what does he not do? Does he not move when I go to get on him? Does he not buck? Does he not run off? Does he not sling his head? You know, does he not do a bunch of stupid stuff? I thought those mules were really high still, so I was sure. I thought overall it was a great sale.
Sure, good. You know, I find that people who wind up with mules that they're unhappy with, they fail to ask hard questions to the seller.
Absolutely. And they're asking questions that are irrelevant.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think they need to find somebody like you or me or just somebody that says, well, what questions should I ask? Their question should be, what questions should I ask?
Right, right.
You know, and you go with that. You know, and another thing is, so I had a guy, he had bought 3 mules for me already, and so he was there. He's from like, I don't know, Arizona or something, but anyway, he had already bought 3 mules for me, so we had a kind of an established relationship through that. One of the mules he bought for me was a Coltrane mule from Kevin Coltrane, and they bred it, raised it up, had their brand on it, and so it was in there. And he said, well, what about that one? I said, well, that one that you got from me came from the same guy, and the reason I bought them that I got is they handle them from babies. They you know, they start them right. Kevin knows how to ride. These things are going to pick you up. These are 3-year-olds. So most people, they just overlook the 3-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? Because they're like, it's too young. I don't want it. It's too young.
Right, yeah.
Because it's 3. But if it's been handled since it was a baby,
sure,
and it side passes and it backs up, mm-hmm, and it has no reason to dislike a human on the planet.
Right.
Sometimes that 3-year-old is those 3-year-olds that end up being $20,000-$30,000 mules and just continue to be
exceptional,
world class, because they just so. In that case, if you know that breeder and know that mule's history and know the mama, know the daddy, that 3-year-old might be better than that 10-year-old that your mom will ever be. And it's, mm-hmm, just going to keep getting better and better and better. So I was like, yeah. So anyway, he ended up buying that one. It's my mom mule. I don't have nothing to do with it. But I think it cost $5,000 as a 3-year-old. But he'll ride that thing for 10 or 20 years. And it's, you know, he'll enjoy it for life. Or he can turn around and ride it for just 5 years. And it's worth more money.
Oh,
he'll make
sure
more money off of it. Just by simply riding it and letting it grow up till it was an 8-year-old. They're like, oh, now it's awesome. It was awesome. It's 3. So you got it from 3 to 8 for free. So,
yeah. And you know,
anyways, you know, buying from those breeders. That mule's name is Toby. He's a sorrel with stocking legs, and he is 9 years old.
Oh, okay. Good for Toby. Toby, yeah, the super mule.
Yeah. So I finally found it. I've been looking.
Well, cool. You know, also too, Max, some of these sellers don't know how to represent the mule that they're selling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, well, you know what? If you give somebody like, you know, you give John Longston any mule, mm-hmm, and give him an hour, much less a month or 2 months or 6 months, but give him an hour, he's going to make this mule look 5 times as good as it was. And it's a double-edged sword, because there's some people there that had some really good mules, and they made it look worse than what the mules is. So another thing is, when you're riding, if you're looking at that seller, or you're looking at them warming up to bend, and their hands never go below their chest, and the mule's acting high-headed, you have to understand, that mule may not be high-headed. That rider might be that stupid.
Right, you know, you got it.
You know, and if you see, there's so many things that were, so I think that's the art of buying too, is you've got to be able to look at the mule and the rider and go, how much of that good is the rider? How good is that? I mean, because like I said, you take the worst mule there, let John Longston take it behind the barn for an hour. It's going to look good when it steps back and around that barn.
Oh, sure.
So how good is that rider, and how much is he helping that mule?
Right.
Other side of the sword is, how good is that mule and how much is that rider holding him back?
Yeah.
And most people only look at the mule and they only look at the color.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot of riders just sit on their mules, you know, and think the mule should take care of them when in fact they're really not helping them or riding with them.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
I bought one mule, and I don't want to say what mule it is, but it was a nice one. But anyway, so this mule's a 3-year-old mule, though. On a 3-year-old mule, this mule was dragging colts around. It had a donkey sold up, throwing a damn fit on the loose. They had to drag his donkey and all that. So this 3-year-old was doing all this stuff. It degraded the trail course. And so all that was good. And it had color, so all that was good. But the guy had a Lynn McKenzie bit on it, way too loose. So the first thing, for one, is that's for barrel horses, not 3-year-olds.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's for blowed up barrel horses that won't turn the damn barrel. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So no reason for a Lynn McKenzie to ever be on a 3-year-old mule.
Right.
It's just, okay. But then, so the first thing on a Lynn McKenzie is it's supposed to shut down on the nose like Hackamore first, then it's a sliding gag second, and you got 9 to 11 inches of shank, and a horrible mouthpiece. But anyways, so it's meant for something that's a problem. But anyway, so the nose band was so loose that it didn't even touch the nose. So when he pulled back 100% and the shanks were all the way backwards, chin strap ain't touched yet. So I'm like, well, that's not even housework. Well, then, because not understanding how that nose band worked, and instead of letting it work as a slide gag, he took copper wire and wrapped the edges, not the copper wire in the mouthpiece. Like you'll see some people do to sore the mouth up.
Yeah.
On the sliding gag, he rolled the twisted wire up on the sliding gag so that it wouldn't work as a gag. Mm-hmm. So the bit was completely done to where it doesn't work as designed, and it's not a design for a 3-year-old anyway.
Right.
And I thought, if that mule's doing that good and doing all this stuff as a 3-year-old with that setup on his head, and he's still doing good, this has to be the smartest damn mule here.
You bet.
Because he is, with no help, he's figured all that out. And, and Damon is, he builds bits by hand, and he sells high-end bits. And if you want the best bits by the best builders in the world, he buys them, collects them, and sells them, and he'll have a booth up there. So I talked to him. I said, look at that setup that guy's got on that mule's head. I said, one of us sure doesn't understand. I said, either I need to go talk to him about bits, because I don't know that he don't know something that I don't know, because that mule is doing everything he's asking. Aaron goes, well, everything I know about bits tells me that that ain't right at all, but that should not be how it is. Hey, chair, do not slide that mule on rocks. You're going to tear his bulbs up on his back of his feet. If he ain't sore now, keep sliding him on gravel. He'll be sore in 5 minutes. Let me get off the phone. You want to slide him, go slide him in the round pin in the sand. Jesus Christ.
Well, your work is never done, sir.
I got a mule that's got a big sit-down slide. He just run and slid it down my gravel driveway. Slid it 15 feet down my gravel driveway.
Oh, boy.
What are you thinking?
I know. I understand you have to go. I want to thank you.
No, it's not that, but I'm like, see, that right there, that's what you need to tell your listeners and stuff.
Yes, sir.
Think things out. If you can't slide on gravel,
right,
you're going to sore your stuff up.
Right.
You know? I mean, like, people see, I don't know, they're like, oh, I've learned how to do a slide and stop, so I'm going to do a slide and stop. You see those people do it, that's a sandy arena. They've hardened that surface down with a little sand, and they have sliding plates. You know, they have a shoe that's wide and it kind of sticks out in the back a little bit, and it helps them skid along the top. You're not doing that on heels and toes and drill tech down a gravel driveway.
Right.
So if you see somebody do something really good, that doesn't mean that you can do it or should do it.
Right.
You need to fully understand what you're doing, what you're asking of your mule. The fact that mules tolerate the stupid level of the majority of the riders out there and don't kill people on a daily basis shows how good a mule is.
You bet.
You know, people roping donkeys in a loose Lynn McKenzie with twisted wire.
Yeah.
They're roping black men with knives. You know, they're sliding down gravel roads. I'll tell you another real quick before I let you go.
Yes, sir.
So that same kid, Jack Kelso, and a lot of people saw this. So, the same kid, this is how cool he is. I had to go over there and kind of high-five him, give him a hug and stuff, so he, these kids, you can pay them $10 or $20. Like, you got a mule you can't ride, but you want to sell it, and you don't want to go like, well, I can't ride it because it's going to buck me. you can pay these kids $20 or whatever, they'll ride anything in the ring. And I mean, they'll ride anything in the ring. If you had a mountain lion and you could get a saddle on it, $20, Jack Kelso will ride it in the ring, for sure. So anyways, this mule gets in the ring while it's selling. Okay, so everybody's in the stands around it. It flies into the PBR Buck and Bull show. It doesn't just throw Jack off in the center of the ring. It throws Jack in the saddle. And Jack and the saddle hit the ground together. The Jack didn't come out of the saddle. Just the saddle and Jack come off the mule.
Dang.
He doesn't hesitate. Sandy, the boy comes up with the reins and gets one of the guys taking the bits. He says, hold this mule. Like, hold him. Jumps on him bareback. His mane is clipped. There is no mane. This mule starts to buck again. Jake racks, just rakes him down like three times and sends him off into a lope and rides it out. And before they get done bidding, he's got that thing riding bareback. Oh, my God.
Wow.
And so then they bring in this great, big, beautiful black and white stocking-legged mule with a paint. And one of the Kelso boys, I don't think it was Jack, I think it was the older one, they're leading this mule in, and he's just walking around, and he's acting quiet. And somebody said, well, what about that mule? Because the bid went down high. I said, here's what I know about mules. If the Kelso boys are leading it in, I don't want no part of it. I promise you.
There you go.
You see that mule throw him off and the saddle? He didn't even faze him. It just made him mad. And he jumped on. I said, that's the littlest one. That's the littlest boy. I said, if the big one's leading him in, I don't want no part of that sucker. And the girl is just as tough as the boy. So, I mean, it's all, they just grew up thinking all that was normal. Just, you know, just ride whatever buck until it don't buck no more. No more or less. Rake it down until it quits bucking. So
it's just life.
Anyways, entertaining. if you go to the sales just for the entertainment value alone, it's a great weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Max, thanks for coming on. And if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
You can go on Facebook. My phone number is 870-476-5495. You can shoot me a message on Facebook Messenger. You can give me a phone call, shoot me a text. I've got about 50 head of mules right now, and I think most of them are super nice. And I've got some really high-end open top mules all the way down just to gentle trail mules for anybody. A lot of times we're advertising those really expensive mules, and they're like, well, Max has got them, but they're, you know, they're $20,000 mules. And I do try to buy the high sellers of the mule, of whatever seller it is, so people know that I'm buying quality stock.
Sure.
But I also have those lower-end ones, too. I mean, we do have them.
Okay.
But, you know, the ones that catch your eyes are going to be the ones that are they're doing the roping, the riding, and the sliding. But I always tell people, I see those are like the showroom floor cars. You know, those are ones when you open the dealer door, you go, oh, but you buy them off the parking lot. You know, most people ain't buying those, and I understand that. You know, I mean, most people want those 35, 45, 55s, but there's 30 of them out here, you know, but people want to see the 30,000 ones doing cool stuff, you know.
Okay.
They want to see Grace and them riding around Broadless and stuff. It doesn't mean that, I mean, I figure Grace will die here on my place. I mean, I don't know if she sells or not.
You bet.
But I'm not going to not shoot videos of her because she's still the coolest mule out there.
Right. So you don't have any clearance rack mules, right?
I'm going to be honest. I'm just going to be really honest with you. And I think me and a few of the other guys do. But I'm the worst about it. I want the cream of the crop.
You bet.
Stuff. I'm old. I've done my time.
You bet.
Bad ones. I want the good ones. So if I get one and I catch one through the cell and it's lame or it's crippled up or it's bucking or it's waspy, it's just not fun to ride. It could just simply be that it's just like it got a mouth made out of steel.
Right.
And I've got so many good ones to ride. I don't mess with it. I got a buddy down in Mississippi. I just send him down there. He runs them through a sale. I take my loss like a man roll on. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to do them. I don't want to sell them. I don't want to double them. I don't want to ride them. If me and my daughter and my friends do not enjoy riding them, I just don't want them here.
You got it.
And it's hard to sell. It's hard to sell a mule that you don't like.
Sure.
Because people call and say, well, what about this one? I get it's a cheap little mule because it sucks. But if that's your budget, that's what you want. You know, it's not going to kill you, but there's nothing to stand out about the mule other than it's cheap. That's the best thing about it. It's cheap. That's not really a good way to sell. But you get a mule like Chili Pepper or something, you go like, oh my God, this is the coolest mule that does this, it does that, it does this. It's so willing to meet you at the gate, or it spins like a rain horse at rope scales, so you put your little grandkid on there and it'll ride it off like like a Shetland, you know what I mean? Those are easy to sell because you're excited about them. So I've just got now where I just don't care anymore. If it's just not fun, if I don't enjoy it, I don't like it, I don't want my name associated with it, I just tell them to send it to a cell in Mississippi, take my name off of it, pull a new cartridge on it,
you
make
bet.
It go away. I don't know where it went. I don't want to know nothing about
sure.
it.
Sure.
Make it go away.
You got it.
So
thank
I've
you,
got
sir.
People that work below me now, or whatever, however you want to say it, partnered up below me, they'll just dump those lower units. And I'll see them online
right.
sometimes representing them to be really, really good. And it's not that they're not really, really good. They're just not. They're not really good on my end, my standards,
right,
you know.
Right.
And I don't care if the mule neck grain's around and it's really gentle, it's deadheaded, some old lady would like it, my dog, because Cheyenne loves that kind. If she can just get up there and it's half asleep, she's got to kick it off the grass and walk around the yard, we're fine. We'll leave those here, you know. So it don't have to be a hot rod.
Right.
But I'm just saying. But if I go to pull left and I've got to pull and jerk and snatch and
sure.
it's just, you know, or I've got to kick it every step of the way, when I quit kicking and quits walking, I just,
right.
I'm not doing that. I got better stuff to ride.
Okay. Max, thanks again. We'll have you back
all right.
on. All right. And we'll talk later.
All right. See you, babe.
Thank you. Bye. Asking hard questions will help you to buy the right mule. Get your copy of How to Buy a Mule and Not Get Screwed, available at Amazon Books and Every Cowgirl's Dream.
If you'd like to be a guest on the show or a sponsor, send me an email, Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at everycowgirlsdream.com. Gotta go. My mule is looking for me.
Mule Talk is an Every Cowgirl's Dream production.